Amen. We did a survey back in Easter. We're still in the same series called You Asked For It. And of the survey, the reason I'm doing a part two today is because this topic was the biggest topic. How do I deal with stress? And I am realizing that it's touching everybody's life, and we want to address it again so we can once and for all deal with that spirit, that demon that wants in the lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl in relationship. He has no right there. And so the reason that people are asking this question, how do I deal with stress, is because there's more options and more advertising and more attractions than ever before. You see, you're being asked to do more, and the time that you're being asked to do it isn't matching the more that you're being asked to do. So it's adding stress. Stress is on the rise in our world. This generation is being asked to work an extra month in 12 months. In other words, they're being asked to work an extra month of hours that the last generation didn't have to work or didn't work. Parents are stressed. People are looking for principles that will help them assist in coping with this culture of stress. Amen. And our video lets us know that, hey, that's real. Some of you quickly equated, amen, your life to that man. And so we found out last week that Jesus gave all that he had so that we would have a better life. Isn't that awesome to know that? We found out that in order to have a better life, that there's some things that we had to believe, had to agree with him on, truths that would impact us in order to have this better life. The first thing we found out 2 weeks ago was this: it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Right? Second thing we found out, if you're going to have a better life, is it's better to live by design, not default. Know who you are and know your purpose. And then the third thing we found out 2 weeks ago, it's better to get the right things done, not more things done. Amen? And so Jesus encourages us in Matthew 6 to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? Why is he saying that? He's dealing with the stress that's touching lives. Everything that you need, that you're fighting to get, if you'll seek the kingdom first, he'll add everything that you need. What does it look like to God when we say we believe, but we won't act on what we say we believe? Anybody ever said something you say you believe, but then actions do speak louder than words, correct? Here's what Peter had to say about this reality in the lives of the believers, because this is where most of our stress is coming from. This okay? What do you mean, Pastor? You mean if I say something that's true but I don't do it, it causes stress? Absolutely. Amen. Because when the rains descend and the waves blow, Jesus said, against our house, if it's not founded on a rock, that house will crumble and fall. How is it that that house is not on the rock? Because you can hear these sayings and not do them, and you're building on sand. But when you hear these sayings and you do them, you're building on a rock. And that's the house that stands. That's the house that makes it. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world, the influences of this life, the logic, the theory, the philosophy of this world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They escaped it because they heard the good news one day. They heard a preacher preach and they said, you know what? I'm going with Jesus on that. And they escaped it. They are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you. This verse here, if you could take it and preach hellfire and brimstone. But that's not the purpose behind that verse. Purpose behind that verse is let you know, amen, Jesus is the answer. And that when you don't allow him to be the answer, and the good news is not something that, amen, you push aside, is you carry it. But if the good news and living for Jesus is not convenient because the world has a tug on you, amen, you go back to the pollutions of this world, get ready, you're going to get stressed. Let me make it simple for you. If you believe the gospel and you go with Jesus on this journey and carry it with him, because you can preach the gospel differently than I do. You know, carrying the message is not holding a mic in your hand. Carrying the message is you bring hope and you bring this good news because you have relationships and you have a circle of influence that I don't have. And God wants you to bring hope to that circle of influence. But when we choose to get so busy and so tied in with our world and the winds of doctrine and the philosophies and the list goes on of traditions of our world and ideas of what dreams are, that we go back to that, stress shows up. Peter is letting the church know, if you want to be stress-free, yield to Jesus and walk with him and be free in Christ. Amen? Is this helping anybody today? You have a tongue, and the enemy wants your tongue. He wants you to say what he's saying, and he'll put all kind of scriptures and twist them and all, and he'll give you a religious idea, a religious form, but that religious form has no power to it, and you'll get stressed out. Is this okay? And so to help us better understand what the Lord's reaching for in us today, he's reaching for that identity he gave you from the beginning. It's time for Adam to walk with the voice of God. And so when we're not committed to following Jesus, we demonstrate ineffectiveness. We're not effective. We're designed to be effective. We're designed by God. He didn't make no junk. He designed you and I to be productive. When we're not, we get stressed. Is that okay? You're designed to have testimony after testimony after testimony of the goodness of God. When you're not enjoying the goodness of God and testimonies and all the blessings of God overtaking you, you get stressed. So when we're not in fellowship with Jesus, that equals stress. Yes, Jesus gave everything so we have a better life. But I want to spend the next few moments right now in encouraging you. Since he's given us this better life, he wants to empower you and me to run our race. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the better life. Today, we're talking about running your race in this better life. Each of us have been appointed to a lane in the race of life. Everybody has their own lane. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. And I must remind you, if you're a first timer here today, sin's not the problem. And I got silent, so you'd go, okay, that preacher's been telling me something false right now. Because sin is the problem. Hold it. Sin is the fruit of what the problem is. There's a source to sin that's the problem. The vice, the problem that you see in your life, the sin that you see in your life, or the fruit of sin that you see in your life, that you think, if I can get rid of this bad fruit, and you keep trying to pluck that bad fruit, and maybe something good will grow out on that limb here shortly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to get to the root problem. You got to go to the source and get the source corrected so that you can bear the right fruit. Come on. Fruit in the kingdom of God when you're stress-free is righteousness. It's innocence. You are living in your true identity, amen, as the mouthpiece and the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that you won't leave here today stressing yourself out trying to be a better person? That's not the answer. There's only one good, and that's God. And God manifested in flesh 2,000 years ago. Amen. And we were revealed what his name was. His name's Jesus. He died mine and your death so that we can have that same life and live stress-free. And so just like Jesus, we're carrying the same message he came to carry. And I encourage you today, embrace what the Lord's about to say to your spirit. Amen. Let us, Hebrews 12 and 1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So everybody agrees, everybody has their own personal lane, right? And we're all running the race God gave us. Back when I was a business owner, my wife and I, we sold goods and services to people, flooring, designer rugs, tile. We installed it, we sold it, we had a public relationship with our community. But one particular day, a man come in, he was upset because he had ordered some goods and services from us. And so in trying to get the goods to the man, amen, the manufacturer gave us some dates to when they could get these goods to him. And they wasn't able to live up to those dates. They had to push the dates ahead. And then not only did they push them ahead two times, a third time. Well, the goods finally came in. By then, the man was hot. He's ready to bite a nail into. And he come in the doors. We already had the goods. I called him. He come in the doors and just gave us a piece of his mind about why this ain't right. And he was inferring that I was lying to him. And it was at that time where I was, you know, developing and serving people, giving Bible studies and pointing people to Christ. And I'm thinking, oh, how in the world am I going to get through this storm with this guy? Because I know God loves him. And the Lord said, this is your opportunity. Amen. I'm teaching you, son, how to take advantage of what I'm taking advantage of. Because people can pull you into their stress. You ever been pulled in by somebody else's stress? And I had a decision to make. I could join with him in the storm, or I could join with Jesus. Because Jesus, he knows how to handle a storm. Right? I mean, the boat's full of water, right? And it's buoyant, but, you know, full means full, don't it? Full means... So the boat's still floating, but it's full of water. And he's asleep. That means he's floating around. And somehow the boat is just floating enough that it's keeping him from going outside the boat. But this is interesting. His disciples are screaming like girls. You don't care. How are you going to let us perish? And here you are sleeping. So Jesus had me in a little storm there. It wasn't nothing like that, but it was a storm. Because... now, it's as a business owner, that news can get out. Word of mouth is powerful. And so instead of, I wasn't thinking from the business lens, but I was thinking, we're in a storm. I don't want this guy mad because I want to be effective in his life. I want us to have a relationship. And so he storms out of the building after I responded, sir, man, I am so sorry that this has happened this way. It wasn't my intent. I know you feel like I misled you, but the manufacturer's done the misleading here. But here's what we want to do. We want to give you the product, and we want to go set it up for you. And he turned around. I don't want the product. He walked out. And he gets to his door, and we're looking out the front of the storefront, and he stops at the door after he'd opened it. He just stood there. He sets the door, and he walks back in with a very repentant spirit. He said, thank you for... amen, offering it like that. I now know it wasn't you. I said, man, it's your product, and we're here to serve you. Instead of losing someone, you gained, because the Lord came in that moment. Because I knew I hadn't been misleading. I knew I hadn't been telling the guy a lie. And I could have taken it personal and then bowed up and got stressed out too. Anybody ever done that before? Somebody accused you of something you didn't do? And next thing you know, you're taking it personal? That when I do that, I forgot the cross when I did that. You follow me? And for somehow, only God, because I'm a country boy, only God could have prompted me to pause and realize that now this is an opportunity for a miracle and for a relationship to be built. Amen? The value of that man to God was worth more than the product and good he was after. And I have been sold out to him. It's not about me. It's about Christ, right? Right? Now, I didn't pin anything on me like I done something, but Jesus did. I'm telling you, before you leave here today, you can't do this without God, but with God, all things are possible. You don't have to be bound in stress levels that the enemy has placed on you. The pollutions of this world, amen, they don't belong in your heart and in your life. Amen. So here are three ways that you can run your race successful as a believer. Number one, regularly take inventory. Jesus promised that he would make the race as comfortable as possible through the Holy Spirit. He promised that. Effective inventory requires that we stop and we evaluate. Amen? That's why you hear it from the pulpit. The Lord wants you to take a day off every week so that you can take inventory. You can evaluate. Take the advantage, amen, of that day means you're giving God an opportunity to come and meet with you and align you and keep you steady in the race. It's not to the swift, it's not to the strong, but it's to the one that endures to the end. What are we doing? We're enduring the pollutions of this world. We're enduring an onslaught of the enemy coming in with all kinds of ideas and traditions that look right, but they're not God. We need a fresh word from heaven every day. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says. I know them, and because they can hear, they're empowered through that to follow. So the idea that you think that you can follow without hearing is not true. Well, I'm going to be at church Sunday, and I'm going to hear what God has to say through Pastor Lowe. You're not going to win that way. You show up on Sundays for me to confirm what you're already hearing. That's why you show up on Sundays. If you're hearing something and your DNA says, man, that's the truth. Man, I wish I could hear like Pastor Lowe. Man, everything will be okay. Well, there's some truth to that, but you can hear like I can because God don't respect one over the other. He's after all of us. It's to whosoever will. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have been set up from heaven to be God's temple. And if the message of whomsoever will come and drink of the water of life freely is not oozing from you, get ready. You're going to get stressed. Now that silence was important. Because Jesus left here so that he could come back in spirit form and be Christ in us, the hope of glory. And from here, be Lord in our life and continue what he started when he came in flesh. Now he's in flesh the way he wants to be in flesh. He's in you. He's in me. And he's still preaching that message to whomsoever we're. Let them come and drink of the water of life freely. If that message is not eating you up, you're going to get stressed out. The reason you live, you move, and you have your being is to carry the message of Jesus Christ. That's why you have a tongue in your mouth. You were designed to agree with what the Spirit is saying and then repeat it because it's powerful and it's creative. It works. It'll save a marriage. It'll heal your body. Your body will respond to it. Life changes when you get this because God wants to meet with you every day. He resurrected Adam 2,000 years ago when his spirit came back. And now Adam can once again walk with the voice of God. This is so important for you to get today. I may not get through with the things I wrote down that I feel good about today, but I know this, that you have been called, amen, to be the tabernacle of God's Spirit and to carry his word. Amen. And his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. You will not get stressed when you hold to that. His disciples made it clear when they delivered this good news to us. And Jesus made it clear when he prayed for you 2,000 years ago. I'm not praying for my apostles only. I'm not praying. He said, go read it for yourself. John chapter 17, verse 20. I'm not praying for them, the apostles alone. I'm praying for every one of them at New Life Fellowship in 2017 that shall believe on me through their words. The apostles had something to say. The question is, what did they say that was so important? What was it that they carried that changed the life that if you would agree with it, amen, and you would receive it, it would change your life and you become stress-free? Jesus made it clear. Paul, writing to the church, says when he comes back to be, here's what he said, to be glorified in every one of us that believed on him through the apostles' word. I'm telling you, the gospel of God is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Paul made it clear, I'm not ashamed of it. If you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ, you're ashamed of the thing that takes the stress out of your life. And God wants to give you a spirit of boldness and confidence to be his mouthpiece, to be his instrument of love. Amen. To be his son, to be his daughter in the kingdom, carrying this wonderful message. Amen. Amen. David knew the importance of regular inventory. In Psalms 39, He said, Lord, remind me how brief my time is on earth. Remind me that my days are numbered, that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. Take an inventory. This don't happen, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to build it intentionally into your life. Stopping, pausing, asking God what He thinks about where you are. So take time to evaluate the why behind the relationship that you have with God, with your spouse, with others. Why should we do this? Because nothing stays where you put it. You have to tend to it. You have to embrace it. You have to take care of it. And so take time off. Do evaluation. When we get honest about evaluating ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, running a successful race requires that we do this. Number two, make a tough decision, or make tough decisions. Everyone is faced with tough decisions. The followers of Jesus faced tough decisions. Acts 4, when they were told that they could not minister in the name of Jesus, what did they do in verse 24? When they heard that, come on, when you hear bad news, it'll stress you out at times, won't it? We're going to kill you if you say anything else. Would that kind of bother you if somebody came up and said, you know, look, if you say anything about Jesus, we're going to kill you. Would that stress you? Probably. But what do? You go back to the source, right? Because that's not the true source. That source is a lie. It'll pull you back into its pollutions, right? But when you go to the true source, this is what they did. They raised their voice to God with one accord. That's why we gather together, ladies and gentlemen, as the day of the Lord approaches, because our world's messed up and we need to be together. We need to be communicated. You need a confirmation that God's speaking to you. You need, amen, validation that God's placed His hand upon you. When we come together as the body of Christ, and God will meet us. And some of you have said, boy, I wish I could carry church with me everywhere I go. Boy, I like what I feel when I get there. Oh, ain't that good? Yeah, it's awesome. That's why we gather together, to enjoy that, because we're the bride of Christ together. But when we leave this place, we go out as sons into the field of harvest to declare, to encourage, to edify, to bring hope, to carry the good news. That's what we're designed to do. And so we have to make tough decisions. They lifted their voice with one accord. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place that where they were assembled together was shaken. Some of us need a shaking today in the Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God wants to meet you and give you an experience that supersedes the stress levels you have right now. Stress relief comes in the form of boldness. When we are filled with, and when we're hosting God's presence, amen, miracles begin to happen. How many of you think that you're not people-oriented? Don't raise your hand. And I'm not a people person, because that's not the truth. There's no way God can design you not to be His man or woman to carry His message. You carry it different. Society has you to be a people person. You have to equal whatever society says. No, to be a people person, all you have to do is align yourself in a relationship with God and be who He says you are. And when you become who He says you are, you become attractive. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about people coming to me. It's about me pointing people to Christ. This isn't for anybody. When I'm trying to be God's man and you're trying to be God's man or woman, the temptation is to get people to like you. And next thing you know, it's like you're and that's why people say, I'm not a people person, because I am not going for election. I'm out. I'm not asking people to vote for me to like me. And so automatically, because you're not political in nature. So you see the pollutions of this world? It's those that are political in their nature that they looks like that's people. They're oriented. No, no. Jesus did not ask you to bring people to you. He asked us to point people to Him. And when I get, because I'm going to tell you what happens is when I'm trying to get your vote to like me, I become a people pleaser. And if you're trying to please people, you cannot be the servant of God. Hello, somebody's catching it now. The temptation to please someone is because the enemy used them to make them think you got to live up to a certain standard. So in order for me to get you to like me, I've got to try to please you, which deviates me from being able to please God. But when I please God, I'm just going to tell you, when I'm doing what Daddy says, people are attracted to that. And when they come looking for what it is that you got that I ain't got, Jesus, let me point you to Him. He's the answer. Amen. Everybody in this room is a people person, because all God's asking is a personal relationship with Adam, where Adam walks with His voice and fellowships with Him. The world is attracted to that. And I tell you what, it'll take stress right out of your life. Amen. But as long as I'm trying to get your vote, I get stressed out. As long as I'm trying to get you to like me, I get stressed out. So do you. But when I go after God and I go after His heart, peace that passeth understanding, joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, it don't matter if the boat's full of water. Amen. I can rest and be assured that He said, we're crossing to the other side. I might be a little wet when I get there. Amen. So, why should we make the tough decisions? Running a race, a successful race, requires that we focus on what matters most. That's the third thing. Focus on what matters most. We talked about this last week. We are passing on into our relationship with God, what we're passing on to others, and even ourselves. There's nothing wrong with things that don't matter. And I got to pause for a minute so you can understand this. I do things that don't matter. My wife lets me know that sometimes. And I'll let her know she does things that don't matter too. And we're having fun with that because we're enjoying the fact that we get to be kids again. You need to do some things that don't matter. But remember this. We should not do them first. Is this okay? Everyone should do the things in life that don't matter purely for the fun of it. Have fun. Be kids. Unless you come as a kid to Him, you can't have no part of the kingdom. He's not looking for stress-filled believers. He's looking for anointed in His Spirit believers that have no stress. Running our race means we live our life on purpose. That's what running our race means. So Jesus gave one message, and that message was, when He dealt with stress, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if there's something you need in your life, I'm going to give it to you. Somebody said, I need some peace. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And how do we seek the kingdom of God? There's only a few things we can do in order to enter in, and that's repent and be baptized in His name. Hello? That's why Jesus came. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And boom, His ministry started. So this gospel thing is the key. This is the door of entering into the kingdom of God. It's the answer. And so He says, seek ye first the kingdom. In other words, change those lies you've been believing and say yes, Lord, to what He says about you. And when you agree with what He says about you and you're identified in Christ in baptism, He will fill you with His Spirit and power. And guess what? Everything that you need will follow. Some of us need a lot from heaven right now, don't we? So what matters most during your race? Here's a good measuring question that we could ask ourselves. Everyone needs to ask yourself this question. Will it matter 100 years from now? And running your ways, whatever it is that you're doing that's on purpose, will it matter 100 years from now? Substantial vision can be seen 100 years out. It's impacting the world that we're in, the garden of God, the kingdom of God. At the end of the day, some of the things that we're mad about, some of the things that, amen, that frustrate us, the things that we spent money that we wish we hadn't have spent money on, really is not going to matter 100 years from now. So, that being the case, and us understanding that what matters the most is what God's asked us to get in line with, that's why Paul said this big statement. I mean, it's like if we only had that scripture, if that's all we had, God would meet us there. Paul said, I have determined. I've made it. I had made it my purpose not to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That everything in life that I do is measured from that act of mercy on my behalf. That when I face a dilemma, when I face a relationship challenge in my life, that I can go to the cross and I can look at Jesus and what He did that I have a life, and I'll get an answer on how I'm to handle that relationship, how I'm to handle that dilemma, how I'm to handle that business matter. Whatever it is in life comes from that tree of life, the cross of Jesus Christ. It brings all of it to my life. And some of you need to hear that today, because when you resolve, amen, that matters the most. There's four things, amen, that you should begin to focus on, amen, from the cross that matter the most to you. Number one, how we see God. How do you see Him? Is He angry? Is He mean? Is He a judgmental God? Or is God good, bottom line? Which one? How do you see Him? Jesus told the story of a rich man in Luke chapter 12, 15. He said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. And this man, he just couldn't get enough of getting more and getting more and getting more. He kept building more barns and more barns and filling it up. Verse number 20. But this is what God said to him. You fool. He stressed himself out to get more gain. He said, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. The whole point of this message is to get us to a place where we're rich towards God. We're full of His innocence. We're full of His righteousness. We're full of His peace and joy. We're walking in the Spirit. Amen. But you know, it's more than 2.35 billion square foot of storage space in the United States. Some of you say, well, that don't mean nothing to me because I'm not a numbers person. Did you know 2.35 billion square feet will cover Manhattan three times? Three times. Y'all get that? That if you stack around 7 billion people that's on the face of the earth, shoulder to shoulder, that you can stack them, or side by side, they can stand side by side comfortably in the city limits of Los Angeles. I'm saying that so that you'll understand that we need more storage space than we have room for people. Think about that. Wow. When God matters most, this is what most stuff means. Philippians 3 and 7. I considered everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Amen. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might win Christ. There's nothing in this life that matches at all the presence of God in my life. Nothing. It stands alone. The second thing that matters most is how we see ourselves. Amen. We talk about it around here all the time. Your identity. You're a special person. You're powerful. Our accountability towards self and what we bring to the table verifies our relationship with God matters. You are powerful. And you have to see yourself that way. You're the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that matters most. Amen. If you're going to run your race right, we're talking about running our race right, is how we see others. How I see God. How I see me, how I see others. We are the sum total of our relationships. Underline that in your spirit. Why is this true? Because you can't tell yourself the last five messages that I've preached. You can't tell. You certainly can't do 10. But you can tell me about 5 to 10 people that has impacted your life right now. You're the sum total of your relationships. Amen. Galatians 5 says, serve one another in love. In verse 13, the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. This is how men and women will know we're His disciples, for our love one for the other. Amen. Fourth thing that matters to God, how we see the kingdom of God. Matthew 4:13-44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had. He got rid of anything that would hinder or offend. And he bought that field. He got all in for it. It's God's kingdom. How many people can we point and assist to the kingdom of God? How many lives, amen, can we encourage to join with Jesus today? And this is why I close with this thought today for your consideration. Peter said, it would have been better that I had not known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned from it. The point of this, ladies and gentlemen, is stress comes when I don't have fellowship with who God says I am. Amen. When I don't allow Him to be the Lord of this house, the temple of His Spirit. Stress comes. You have been designed by God, amen, to be His minister. That's why at New Life Fellowship you hear us talk about it all the time. Amen. If you need a miracle, the guy with the mic is not the answer. Amen. The guy with the mic should be equipping you to be Jesus' miracle worker. Amen. This is so important. If these signs are not following you, amen, then you're not qualified as a believer. I know that. You know that. But we're wondering, why isn't this happening in our life? And don't forget this. This is so valid for every one of us here today because we want to get rid of stress. We're talking about, how do I deal with stress? Jesus gave Peter a set of keys to the kingdom. And he says, what you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven, Peter. What you loose on earth, Matthew 16, go read it for yourself, verse 18 through about 20. What you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. And Peter went and unlocked the doors to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the Gentiles. He unlocked the doors, followed the trail. And he brought with him a message of hope. And he was releasing people from stress all over the countryside when he brought that message. The enemy knows that if you ever step up to who you truly are in Christ and realize that it's not because you can pray in Jesus' name and someone get a miracle that saves you. Pastor, what are you trying to say? Hear me. Matthew 7, Jesus said, the majority of churchgoers, I'm paraphrasing, you can read it for yourself, they're going to say to me in that day, did not we prophesy in your name? Did not we cast out devils in your name? Every one of them, in your name. They're praying in Jesus' name. And they're trying to say, why can't we get in? And Jesus says, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. If you read the passage in context, he's talking about you heard the word, but you never did it. You heard it. You could tell people, but you never would yield to it. This is where we are in our Christian world right now. Hearers and not doers. But the ones that hear and yield to it, they're building their house on the rock. They're stress-free. When the storms is beating against their house, they're stress-free. They're not beat up and frustrated with what's going on in our world. If you're worried about the signs and the time, if the darkness of our world has any influence in your life, let me tell you what that means. You've let the enemy have place in your heart. God wants to be king of His kingdom within you, and He's a king of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He didn't call you to have a spirit of fear. He called you to have a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. He didn't call you to be eat up with stress. He called you to be stress-free, to be His sons and His daughters. So if I pray for you today and you get healed, or if I pray for you today and demons leave your life and spiritual influences shouldn't be there, leave your life, that's not what saves me. What makes me stress-free and what saves me is I carry the good news with me. I'm a carrier of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. You and I have been called to carry this message. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not okay with being stress-free and you not being stress-free. I'm not okay with being at peace and you not being at peace. Amen. God's telling me to tell you and remind you of who you are. You're a powerful person. And if you want to deal with stress, accept your true identity. Let the Spirit of God get a hold of you and then birth inside of you until it's oozing out of you. Rivers of living water. Everywhere you go, you're touching lives. Not because you preach like Pastor Lowe, or you teach like Sean, or you're able to, amen, minister like T.D. Jakes. No, you're in your lane. You're God's man. You're God's woman in your lane, and you carry this message wherever you go, and you live a life that's stress-free.